and welcome to this week's Big Boat Interview with me, Georgia Boscoen, travel editor here at Boat International. This week, I sat down with Bengt and his son, Philip, who have lived out all of our dreams, leaving everyday life to build a super luxurious hotel in the Grenadines. Beckway Beach Hotel exudes that toes in sand, super laid back, yet ultra high-end combination that all of us try and find out in the Caribbean. We chat about what it really takes to build an incredible beachfront hotel, being faced with those moments where you think, what have I taken on? It's a truly mesmerizing story, and you'll all be desperate to get out with some Caribbean sun after the pair talk about the epic story behind it. We also chat about the wonderful story of how Bengt and his wife came to own the 34-meter Benetti Star of the Sea, which after spotting her in a marina in the south of France, had to travel across the world in a little bit of a wild goose chase, possibly irritating a harbour master or two along the way. But I'll let Bengt and Philip tell you the real story. So without further ado, here they are. So thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting us.
And so I guess we'll just start at the beginning and just hear a little bit about how you actually came across the island.
My brother had a yongert, a 29-meter yongert called Sea Shuttle, and it traveled basically around the world and the Caribbean during the winter season and Mediterranean in summer season. He invited me in the early 90s to go on a cruise from San Lucia down to Grenada. And then it happened to be New Year in Beckway. So we came to Beckway and stayed in Admiralty Bay at New Year's Eve. And it was a really crazy atmosphere, fantastic, with hundreds of sailing boats, fireworks and party all over the night. It's a New Year's Eve, or they call it Old Year's Night in Beckway, is really a highlight of the season. So we stepped off in Grenada. I didn't think very much more than I had a very positive memory of the island. Did the same tour again 2004 with my brother and his youngest sailing boat. And at that time was a little bit off season, late March, and the island was very sleepy. And at that time I thought of buying some house or villa for myself and my family in a warm climate. And I don't think France and Spain is warm enough, at least not in the winter time. So I was automatically looking at other islands in the Caribbean, Barbados, but also coming across Beckway, I thought, wow, this is really a nice island and not very much developed at all. And also they have got an airport, what they didn't have in the early 90s. So, because if I should have a house, I must access it without relying on the sailing boat to get there. So then I really bought a small bed and breakfast on a beach opposite Mystique. And I thought, cannot get wrong with that.
Definitely not. It sounds incredible.
Yeah, no, it was really a highlight. And then I took quite a long time to get formalities in a small island like that and to learn the ways, who to speak, who to deal with and who not to deal with. Anyway, I secured it 1 week before the Hurricane Ivan. And Hurricane Ivan devastated Grenada, as we might remember. Mm. And it also, Beckway was hit, actually took the beach away from my beach hotel I bought. It was just rocks there. And coral rocks. And the locals said, "Don't worry, Mr. B, don't worry. Sand is coming back. It's out there." And they pointed on the bay. So it doesn't help me if the sand is there. I want it on the beach. Oh, don't worry. It took 2 years. And after that, the sand actually came back and an even nicer beach than before.
Gosh, that must have been quite a setback from when, and probably quite, you must have been quite shaken up having ventured on this incredible journey only to find that there was a disaster such as the hurricane to set you back.
I would see it more like a learning curve. It took some of the structures from the old bed and breakfast that anyway I didn't plan to save. But I realized that I must look at these things. I was not experienced with hurricane when I'm building something. And I joined a local structural engineer to assist me with whatever I was building. And I also thought, the villa I plan to build, I must set it back a little bit more from the beach than my originally planned. So I ended up in buying site right, left and center at the back. And then suddenly I had too much land for to build just a huge villa with a huge garden. So then I thought, my brother said, why don't you build a hotel? Yeah, why not, I said.
That was how it was born, I guess.
Yeah.
So did you have any experience in hospitality in the hotel world, owning and managing and building a hotel? I mean, that's a hell of a project.
Yeah, it is. I got experience of building and construction and difficult project. Not of that. Not in the Caribbean and not of that size to take on and on quite brave, or maybe you could say almost stupid to do on a small island without piped water and missing quite a few other facilities, but it's brave. Anyway, so, and the only experience with the hotel, I've stayed a lot of the best hotels in the world, and I had just an idea I could do it, and then a bit brave, maybe, also maybe a bit stupid, but in the end, I went on with it.
I think my father, he wanted to build a hotel that he wanted to stay in at the end. And the only real experience in the family is my sister, Jannica, who has a degree in hotel management. But Bengt, he loves to have a project ahead of him and pretty much set off from there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I just found out and was... met quite a lot of people that tell me how to do, and I listened to them, but I judged all my way myself to try to and how to build water tanks everywhere, because there's no pipe water and there's no wells on the island, no rivers, nothing, and how to deal with that and do a sewage system
all the boring sides apart from beautiful rooms. And I think originally Bengt was quite inspired by a couple of newspaper articles by an old English journalist called Hunter Davies, who wrote quite often about Bekwi, one of his favorite Caribbean islands, stating that it was perfect apart from not having a proper hotel. And I think that inspired you.
It inspired me, and he called it the best Indies, Bekwi.
Oh, fantastic.
The best island. He wrote one article, I particularly remember, saying the best in this. It's just a shame there isn't a decent hotel. And I visited 35 islands in the Caribbean, and this is the nicest. That really was one very important point, I think. Let's build a hotel and see how it goes. And then if I build it nice, hopefully people will come. Now when there's an airport on the island, they could come here as tourists.
And did you have a concept in mind? Did you know the vibe of the hotel that you wanted to create, or, you know, call upon local people, local amenities? Did you have an idea about what it was?
I must say, I looked very much about Colin Tennant and Mystique, what he had done. What he have achieved there to taking on that island from in the late 50s, and then create a villa for the very important, for famous people in the UK, and how he did it, and also how he was very much into architecture via his Oliver Messel, a theatre designer, a friend of him, to design all buildings. So that was my inspiration to to use the colors, the gingerbread, and then that would one part, the size of the room and quality was more myself. I thought if I should do a hotel, I should do it different from other hotels. It should not be the fancy of the day in style. It should be like a colonial old beach hotel that doesn't exist anymore, but people would love, and with a bit quirky and different from anything else, and with colonial furniture. But
yeah, I think that it really, it's a very distinct hotel in its style that reflects Bekwi, which we've always said is like going back in time on that island. There are no real big developments or anything, and the hotel mirrors this through this kind of vintage retro chic style. There's a lot of mahogany dark sort of colors, and it harks back to the golden era of travel, is what we try and create a little bit of an atmosphere of an old style beach hotel.
And that's also coming to Bekwi. It's there are no fast food restaurants and there are no proper shopping markets and all that. So it's kind of, and the beaches, fantastic beaches, very empty and friendly people. It's not, no high rise buildings. And so it's kind of traveling back in time, how the Caribbean used to be. That's mirrors Bekwi very much. And I should have a hotel taking up these ideas, so to make it genuine, and then employ local people, which is sometimes they're very charming. So maybe, well, I don't want to say, but it's not easy.
Were there any moments where you thought, "What have I got myself into?" I mean, surely you must have thought this is a huge project. Were there any daunting moments that you can recall?
Yeah, it was actually when there was hurricanes approaching, and that was tired, you know, and people complained about things. And then I see all the unfinished building, and Monday morning, where are all the workers? Oh, they got paid on Friday, sorry to say, but a kind of thing. What am I getting into here with this huge project in a country? And then I could sit comfortably, well, in Hong Kong, in wherever, not now, of course, but yeah. I could sit all over the world to have a lovely time, or in London, or traveling the globe and doing that. But I love projects and difficult projects, and then I just got.
I think there's definitely a degree of difficulty of getting stuff there, but sometimes in the early days, banks would leave and come back and realize a wall was built for a house several feet too narrow, for example.
Yeah.
And different heights, for example, of switches on walls and those sort of pedantic things and sockets, yeah. You know, that'd be, or behind a wall or behind the bed or something like that.
And one floor in the villas, there, what I said, they tiled it nice, and I said, well, this is not straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's fine. It's beautiful. And then I put a bottle on the side. It's rolled across the floor into the corner.
And I suppose the gauge would be, would you recommend anyone else to do it?
If I would recommend someone else to do it, I would just say one thing. You had to be there. You had to be, it doesn't help you stand barking of them that done it wrong. You had to have someone there to be there. Either yourself you are there, or you have a very good, trustworthy friend. But you know, the beer is very good and the rum is cheap. So you just had to, how should I say? You had to have someone very trusted person. There. Otherwise, you pay someone for a good long holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what you want. You could take that holiday.
And you also mentioned that you read the book Don't Stop the Carnival by Herman Woke, which is about an American that leaves New York for the Caribbean to build and manage a hotel. Do you see yourself in that character as well?
I could really see someone standing beside me in the early days and just note what I did and how frustrated with things were. For example, the old hotel I was, they took all the furniture there, and then I thought, okay, I buy a bed, and then I could stay at the hotel and enjoy it. And I asked someone, could you put on the AC for me there, because there was AC. And then it doesn't come on. Okay, could you check it? And then when they lift the cover, someone nicked an AC that does the cover. And that kind of thing. So
you get that there's always a baptism of fire. And you know, having working with Dad quite closely now with the hotel and villas and everything, there's definite moments that test your patience. But I think that makes you stronger and
then you
thicker skinned.
I mean, you have to laugh about some of these things, and otherwise you get crazy.
Absolutely. So also let's talk about Star of the Sea. So can you tell me a little bit about the yacht in general?
Yeah, it was 1997. I went into super yachting. I had I always have some summer house in Sweden by the sea. So I inherited a rowing boat there, still there. It's the only boat now in Sweden. And then I had motorboats in Sweden, various sizes, and motor cruisers and so on. And I used them so little. And then I was the family back in the 80s. We went down, or 90s, no, 90s. We went down to Bornholm, the Danish island in the Baltic, and it was a big storm. And after that, my wife were not keen at all to go on motorboats in Sweden anymore. I sold that. And then I think I looking, when I came 1997 to MIPIM in Cannes, I went up a little bit early. The other went to a nightclub the night before, my colleagues. And I went up 7 o'clock, to took a taxi to Antibes and walk in the harbors around there. And then, of course, I got...
With the Boat International, the back pages, obviously.
Yeah. I started buying Boat International from issue number 13 or something like that. And followed, and all the ads were in black and white then. Anyway, not that very selling, if I say so. Anyway, I went around in the harvest and started, you know, getting contact with various brokers. And then I started looking at Benetti's because I liked the style of them, and I think it was a well-known brand. Ended up buying a 29-30 meter Benetti. And then, but when I took my wife around there, she said, we looked at various yachts there, one worse than the others because of the budget issues. And then she pointed at the then Star of the Sea that was called L'Escapade. Why don't you buy anything proper yacht instead of going looking at all this rubbish and showing in various styles? And then I looked at L'Escapade, and that actually came for sale a little bit later, but it was bought by a guy from Hong Kong. Anyway, I kept monitor what happened with the boat. It went over to Hong Kong Harbor. And then when it came on the market again, it was on the market quite a long lot in the early 2000. And at that time, there was hardly no market for such a big yacht in Hong Kong. So I started, I flew over there, and then looked at it, and it was a bit neglected, but it was very good. I know the yacht from past. It was very good body in the yacht, and I could see things potential there, really a big potential, and engines were good. What's most important, generators crap. So I put in a bid with a visit to buy it, and then suddenly 9/11 appeared, and then I lowered my bid. But then suddenly were two other bidders, and then when I flew over there again, stayed at Mandarin Oriental, spent my evenings in Captain's Bar there, waiting till the seller should make up his mind, and the broker convinced him that I was the right buyer. And then there was two other buyers. So we went to look for the yacht again. The yacht was disappeared in Hong Kong, and the broker was quite furious. How on earth? They can't go to China with the yacht, not at that time. where is it? So he hired a sampan, like a small boat with a lady living on board and eating and cooking. And we went around the Aberdeen Harbour and various small other islands around there and found the yacht up on the ground on a fisherman's wharf. And there was the surveyors from the other buyer, from one other buyer from the States were there to investigate the hull. So I said, put me ashore and I could investigate the hull on the other side. So I did. And the Chinese crew that was sleeping on board, so they didn't notice anything. And the sampan was waiting about 50 meters away and no one saw anything. Suddenly the Chinese crew woke up from started talking a lot and pointing and so on me and at me and the brokers. And I said, come, let's walk. Just walk to the sampan and let's disappear. And so we did. And then I went on to to the owner and said, I have actually an account in Hong Kong now and the depositors on the account. I either say yes or no, or I go back to London. And then I put my last, the bid. I put it just an hour before they woke up in Germany. The other buyer was German. So in just before, otherwise I just out of the quest to buy it. And then, I got it and then started it.
Gosh, that's an incredible journey just for that particular vessel. It must have really caught your eye from the get-go.
Yeah, I liked it very much. Mm-hmm. So and I saw a very big project in that. The first project was to get it from Hong Kong. So I phoned my captain, he was in Australia, and I said, I got a mission for you. You should go to Hong Kong and you should stay at a hotel there, and you should find out how on earth do we bring the yacht to Europe. And the broker said, well, you just drive it. No way, I said it, not with Somalia and the Chinese Sea and pirates and all kind of other stuff there. No, that's not possible. So he spent some time there, and in the end we brought it on a heavy lift ship. Once a month went to China to bring things. And they had a crane that could lift it and I could put it on the deck. And then it will visit Hong Kong a month later or so. So we had a big, huge cradle there. And he arranged all that. And then
steel cradle.
A steel cradle, 16 by 8 meters. And then to put it on the deck and to weld it and secure it. And when they lifted it up, it was just, they had a tank of 100 ton from one side of the vessel. So they compensate that because they couldn't tilt more than 5%. And then they lifted it up and put it on the deck. And then they drove all the way to La Spezia in Italy. And then they came one special day. We had one day for loading it and one day for the ship to offload it. Otherwise, there was a very hefty fine. So we come to La Spezia, they did it reversed. They when the boat came there, it was all red because it passed the Sahara sand and Red Sea and full of totally red, so it was not white any longer. Anyway, they lifted down the cradle. And then the boat, we just drove it from there. And the cradle, what to do with the cradle? They put it on the wharf in La Spezia. And then the ship was gone. Then Star of the Sea was gone. Cradle was there. And then in the morning, we got a furious call from the harbor master and said, you left the cradle here 16 by 8 meters. You had to remove it. How could you remove a cradle that? And we phoned around various people. In the end, we got a scrap dealer somewhere in Genoa. He said he could take it on, but it would cost a lot to weld it in pieces because no truck could bring such a wide thing.
Steel I-beams.
Yeah, heavier, yeah. So he came there and I paid about 25,000-30,000 for the cradle. In the end, I got the check of 500 euros for the scrap.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So first they found if there was not any ship that could go the other way, someone could do a bargain on Big Cradle.
Yeah.
And the harbour master, he was furious.
Oh, gosh. And also the yacht has become a huge part of the hotel. Is that how you always envisioned that?
Not really, I would say. I had a yacht in the Mediterranean, and we sail in all over Mediterranean and Malta and Croatia. And so we visited all lovely places, not once, but twice and three times we chartered it. I found that a lot of the charters went to more modern yachts, and by this was regarded more classic, but older. And it was just, I thought that, and on the other hand, costs and everything with MCA and with various, you know, all that escalated.
I think at that stage, I mean, Bengtsson, if you bought the yacht was refitted until 2004 and kept in the Med on charter until 2016. And we brought it over as Beckwith Beach Hotel was really developing, and thought, you know, we wonder if there's some synergy effect possible. And it made sense, honestly. We, as a family, we were using the yacht quite little in the Med, unfortunately. And we thought, okay, what do we do? Well, we have everything going on in Beckwith, so bring it over there.
Yeah, and I had
a new lease of life.
Yeah, and I had a Yeti already. I extended that a bit, and I could have my own Yeti and arranged shore power there and water and everything. So I had my own little, I wouldn't say marina, but just a Yeti there. And we actually got quite a few charters, and also the hotel guests. We do day charters to the lovely places in the Grenadines. It's been quite a hassle now to move from one country to another. So we have kept it within the St. Vincent Grenadines. Otherwise,
I think, in terms of that, it's been extremely popular. And because of the Grenadine archipelago, you have amazing, quite short sails from Beckwith, for example, where its home base is. So you can go to Canoan or Mustique or Tobago Keys, and for sort of week-long charters, even 3-4 days. But for hotel guests, it's a massive added bonus. You have a small super yacht attached to the hotel, and we'll do day cruises for guests, for example. So it makes that lifestyle a little bit more attainable, for example. And that itself, you know, obviously adds value to the hotel, and the guests find it, you know, it's a lot of fun. And some of them come back and charter the yacht, you know, with multi-generational celebrations or families and everything. So it's a good little location for it.
Yeah, and I suppose am I right in saying that it's one of the only yachts around the area? Is that correct?
I think it's one. I think there might be one or two more now in recent years. I've seen it quite frequently. I don't know if they're chartered or more for private use. But the last, during the pandemic, I've seen a lot of big mega yachts down. Some of the world's biggest yachts, definitely a destination down there. If you want to be away from the COVID and so on. So, and that also, the island hotel is, because it's not very populated, it's a good area to have been the last 2 years. And that, I think, and also with Canoan, with a huge marina there, and the Mandarin Oriental, and now Soho House in Canoan, just 2.5 hours away with yacht from Beckwith, it's added. And then, of course, you have Mystique just 9 miles across from the hotel.
Yeah, it's a great location. There's a lot happening. I think the Northern Caribbean is much well or better known to brokers. But as you said, it's one of the probably the only yacht that's permanently based in the Grenadines of that sort of size. Everything else is more catamarans and that sort of thing. But there's a lot happening. And, you know, just ourselves, Beckwith, we've had some charters, even engagements where, you know, charter Beckwith Air, the aircraft flying hotel guests in and move from island to island and everything. So it's quite a unique little location down there. And as I was saying, it's quite short sails, which is an added bonus.
And the alternative is catamaran, and not everyone at the hotel likes to be on a sailing boat, and the other alternative, small speedboats. And it is the Windward Islands, so unfortunately it's a bit waves down there all the time. So a bigger yacht like this is more comfortable on that point.
And also, while obviously it's an incredible addition to the hotel, Star of the Sea has been seen, I think, on more than one occasion offering first-hand relief. I've definitely seen it in the news a couple of times. I mean, that's an incredible thing to have out there.
I think we were exceptionally lucky, banked having the yacht located down there last year when La Soufrière, the volcano on St. Vincent, erupted explosively. It's basically there were a shortage in supplies and all sorts of things, and you know, obviously airspace was closed quite a long time, and there were a desperate need of water, particularly to St. Vincent, for displaced people and basic necessities. So we did a relief runs up to St. Lucia and picked up relief in from Canon even that had got flown in, and it's really thanks to Bengt for making it possible to do those sort of runs, sailing past the volcano basically.
Yeah, wow.
And there was no possibility for land on the airstrips around in the country, in the area,
because
the ash there, and that's not at all good for jet engines. So all airlines refused to touch the area for quite some weeks. So even to get us out there and others out there, we took our boat up to Martinique, and we took our boat up to St. Lucia to get out from the St. Vincent, really. And that was very convenient, and others chartered the boat to do the same things.
And it would fill, I think, at times, you know, 4 or 5 tons worth of bottled water, just bringing it down and then handing it over to authorities in some instance. So doing some good, you know, what you can really in, amongst the circumstances.
Yeah, we purchased from St. Lucia various things that was in need, and we also... Things were donated in St. Lucia, and we just loaded it, put it on the yacht, filled the saloon basically with.
And it's a big, big thanks to the crew as well. You know, they worked tirelessly making that possible, going up and down, and I can't undersell the sailing past the volcano whilst the ash cloud is still there. It's quite daunting.
Absolutely.
Credit to the crew and captain for that.
It's incredible. And so let's just talk about what's next for Beckway. So I know that having seen various things come across my desk, there's lots of things going on, such as Grenadine Hills. So when was that? This is the new collection of luxury villas. Was this always part of the plan?
Not really. It was a hotel there, Friendship Bay Hotel. It went bankrupt 2010, and I had no intention to buy it. There was different other people had in different plans to buy it from off the receivers. In the end, they just decided to put it on the market, and I told them, okay, I said, if you put it on the market like that, let me have a new look at it. And then they said, well, if I wanted to have a look at it, we wait with put it on the market until I've done my research. So I decided to buy it. And that's a 10-acre beachfront property with old hotel rooms that was not really could be used, because they have built in 1965 cheaply, didn't work, but an excellent location. So I started on with a villa project, originally planned for 8 big villas. I built 2 completed, a third will be completed this year, the Rock Villa, 1,000 square meters of indoor space, terraces and pools and all, very, very nice. It's been in the making quite a long time because I've done a lot of other things in between. But it will be finished this year.
Yeah, I mean, to touch on Grenadine Hills really is it's a gated site with the 2 villas that are ready, Villa 1 and Coral Hill, are mustique quality villas. So, you know, sort of 6-5 bedrooms in each one, and very private, and they have their own concierge and butler service and staff, with the benefit of hotel amenities at Beckley Beach Hotel and the strength of concierge there as well, which we have. So it's a unique offering on the island, and we're quite pleased with the rollout of it. We did a soft launch in November, and it's pretty much been booked solid since then, with guests even staying for upwards of 5-6 weeks at a time. Some, you know, in one once we had just a couple in the largest villa, and other times we've had, you know, multi-generational families. So it's been fantastic. And Bekwi is still very much under the radar for many as an option, even though we're just neighbors with Mustique. But it's been a great launch. And I think what's next, there's always things going on at the hotel. During the pandemic, we did a mini refurb, building a saltwater infinity pool, which has been really, really well received right on the beach. And, you know, with a hotel, you can never, ever stand still. You're only as good as your last season. So there's always a few tricks up our sleeves and plans for pushing it forward.
Fantastic. And I believe clothing as well, resort wear, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Our label Beach Bums is run by my wife, Eleanor. It started out as a project, Bengt really saying he wanted some hotel clothing, and that evolved into something much more fun than just having the hotel's logo on a polo shirt. And so she does sustainable swimwear, beachwear, both for males and females. And it's already being sold at quite a few different hotels in the Caribbean and Barbados and Grenadines as well. So it's a boutique brand, and we produce in limited quantities, initially setting out that it should be a badge, a kind of a badge of honor or memento that you've stayed at the hotel or Bekwi. But we've pushed it out a little bit more than that. So it's very exciting. It's a nice little moment when the 2-3 hotel guests or gentlemen with the same pair of swimming trunks, which you can only get on the island. So there's a little family there.
And then we have on the other side of the island, Princess Margaret Beach, we have Jack's Beach Bar. That is the nicest beach bar on the island, like similar to Bassett's Bar in Mustique. And that's like something for yachties and sailing boats and super yachts to stay in Port Elizabeth and then visit. There are many bars there, but this is just by the only one at Princess Margaret Beach, the best beach on the island.
Beautiful place to watch the sunset, have a cocktail, and as a sort of second location, our guests can sign bills to the room as well, which is great. And it's just a nice little option. And then not held by us, but there's a lovely little floating bar just off in Bekwi as well, in Admiralty Bay, which a lot of people love to enjoy as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sounds great.
Lots going on Bekwi.
Definitely. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. It's been fantastic. I'm afraid that's all we have time for. But I hope that I will be heading out very soon, because it sounds absolutely incredible. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Georgia. Fantastic. And very welcome to Bekwi and the Caribbean. Real Caribbean. Genuine Caribbean.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this week's Big Boat interview. Don't forget to tune in later in the week for our news podcast. And of course, if you don't want to miss that or any other episodes, don't forget to subscribe on Spotify or Apple. Thanks, and we'll see you later in the week.